For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6, pretty familiar territory. John chapter 6, amen. Hope all of you had a great week last week and family and friends and eating and football and hunting, amen. I told somebody out in the foyer this morning, what's that game last night? I didn't know whether to feel good or bad, you know. I feel good about it, you know. I mean, a win's a win, like they say. Like the coach says, W's W. Y'all stunk up the place, but it was a W. But amen. Well, we're going to have a prayer meeting at the end of the service tonight for all the guys that have not killed deer and girls lay hands on you and your gun. You can always use the excuse, you know, the scope's off, the sun was in my eyes. You know, all those things are good to use. I can give you several excuses. Anyway. Amen. How many of you have eaten not only turkey and ham and or ham, but you've had some fresh venison? How many? Say amen right there. Come on. Man, I thought this was a kind of a country church here a little bit. I've put something across my palate that had never been there before this week, and that was deer heart. How many of you ever had deer heart? I'll tell you what. It's good. Good stuff. And once you've got to get past the beginnings of it, you know. But you've got to, you know, if you're good with a knife, you know, you just have to have good knife work there. There's a few things you have to trim away. Just picture it like a big bell pepper, you know. And just cleaning a bell pepper, you open that up, clean those chambers out and those arteries. And you cut the top off of it. You get rid of the top. Trim, you know, that fat, and it's really a beautiful, palatable piece of meat. And somebody said, what did it taste like? Just like chicken. Amen. And really a rich, flavorful mouthful of deer heart will get your day started out right. And the peppers, onions, mushrooms, wonderful. And I know. And my son said, Dad, what are you dragging that out of the wood? What are you bringing that home? What's this? I said, hey, you're going to find out, man. And he's a fan. Well, not a real strong fan of it, but he did taste it. Amen. Well, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and read this miracle. It's a miracle that's found in all four Gospels. All four Gospels. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain. There he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The day was getting away from them. They had a great crowd of people there, thousands of people. And this he said to prove him, verse 6. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here. There's a little boy here. Every time we see Andrew, he's bringing someone to Jesus. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. One of the other gospels tells us that they sat down in groups of 50 and 100. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he took what the little boy had given. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. By the way, I don't think that little boy was coerced in giving away his lunch. I think he wanted to. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. But look at verse 12, kind of my text today. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Notice that. He said, the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Now, these 12 baskets were a normal size, but I mean, not a tiny basket, but a normal size basket of the day. And the other miracle that you rarely hear about, I think it's in, we read about in Mark chapter 8 too, the feeding of the 4,000, and they had 7 baskets left over. The word basket there is a different word. It's the size of hampers, like a big old clothes basket. And so God does pretty well with what we give him, doesn't he? And he can take a little bit. Lester Roloff used to say, God can hit a pretty good lick with a crooked stick. God can do a lot with a little. He'll do a lot with you and me if we'll allow him to. And it says they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remaineth over and above unto them that had eaten. And look at verse 14. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Dear Lord, I pray that today that we'd see more of you and less of us. Lord, may it be so. May that be our goal, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Lord, may we seek you, the blesser, instead of the blessing. Help us not just to give you our leftovers, but thank you that your leftovers are far better than the main course of the devil. I pray, Lord, that today you'd help us to glean and to grow. Help some to be saved and help some to come and get closer to you, and help us to be grateful and thankful for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring a message. Notice in verse 12, it says, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, we're very familiar with this. I've preached on it many times, but we're very familiar with it. As I read that this week, I thought of the theme. I thought of this theme. You know, Pastor Grant mentioned leftovers. Leftovers. This week, we think a good deal about leftovers. After Thanksgiving, you know, there are a lot of leftovers. What do you do with the leftovers? Turkey. Amen. Chicken. Deer heart. what do you do with the leftovers? Nothing left after that. But anyway, ham. I mean, that ham has that brown sugar glaze on it. Say amen right there. Mashed potatoes. Swimming in butter. I mean, just butter just laying in there, just melting away. Man, just beautiful. I mean, it just looks too good to eat. And hot rolls and green beans and corn and sweet potato and cranberry sauce, all that. What do you do with all that? I mean, after you've stuffed your face and you've eaten and eaten and then you eat again, what do you do with all that? It's what we want to talk about today. In this passage, it says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. There was a lot left over. A lot left over. We know this, that the Bible says what we sow, we reap. If we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. That's a Bible principle, isn't it? Leftovers often are frowned upon. Kind of frowned upon. Some people just don't like leftovers. We'll have leftovers today. I don't mind that. You know, add a little salt, a little more butter. Praise God. And put a little gravy on it. Amen. Add some milk and water. String it out. I like what David said, though. He said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Never, he said, have I seen the righteous forsaken. Don't ever overlook God's leftovers. There's no comparison to the blessings that God gives versus what the world gives. Sadly, we often give God our leftovers, but God's leftovers are better than the main dish that the devil gives. With the devil's dish, it's always sour and sorrowful. But there's no comparison to that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. According to his exceeding great and precious promises, Peter said. There's no comparison. I mean, God's leftovers are pretty good. I mean, you think about those 12 baskets and I mean, we always debate about who got the baskets and, you know, what do they represent, you know, and we think about, as you study different commentaries, some believe that the location of the feeding of the 4,000 and the seven baskets left over, that those seven maybe have more emphasis on Jews and the 12, or maybe on Gentiles, and the 12 maybe more on the Jews in John 6. I don't know about all that, but I think certainly it's a picture of the bread of heaven going out to the world. And people eating that bread. Jesus said, if you'll eat of me, you'll never hunger. If you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst. He is the bread of heaven. He's the manna that came down from heaven. But why, just on the practical side, why would he leave 12 baskets left over? It says there were 12 baskets that remained. And I believe this. I think God just wanted to leave evidence of that which he had done. 5,000 men ate. Plus, the Bible says women and children. I mean, there may have been as many as 20 to 25,000 people that ate of that little lad's fishes, five loaves and two small fishes. That's a lot of people. Jesus can take that and multiply it. Jesus can take your talent. Jesus can take your gift. Jesus can take whatever you submit to him and give to him and yield to him. He can take that and use it and multiply it and feed many with the gospel and make a difference. You can make a difference. But I think just right off the bat, God wanted to leave evidence. In Hebrews, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. And it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substantive and faith is evidential. Where there's faith, there's going to be something seen. Where there's faith, there's going to be evidence that God has done something, that God has blessed. And certainly, I think God just wanted to show off here. I mean, he could have filled the Sea of Galilee with bread and fish if he wanted to. I don't know who got it all. Doesn't matter. The Bible says everybody that was there that wanted food got fed. Kind of like going to grandma's house, 2.0, you know. Everybody that was there got fed. And those 12 baskets, now whether they went to the disciples, whether they went home with the boy, but I'll tell you this, God wanted to leave evidence of that which he had done. And he does that with his leftovers. His leftovers show us evidence. In Galatians 5, I think in verse 18 or 22, it says this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit, God gives. He doesn't just save us. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. There's evidence of his leftovers. Not only the fruit of the Spirit, but then he says, Proverbs 11:30, he says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. There's fruit that comes from the Christian. There's fruit of the Spirit. Then he talks about fruit that remains. John 15, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, he said, you'll abound with my blessings and you'll have the fruit that remains. You'll not only have, you'll start out with no fruit and then you'll have fruit and you'll have more fruit and much fruit. Then he said, you'll have fruit that remains. All of that's evidence of God's leftovers. If I'd have known, and if we would ever really understand and get a hold of this thing of all that we have in Christ Jesus, if we'd ever understand all of that, we might get more excited about this thing of serving God. God's leftovers. He's the Lord of the leftovers. Man, keep eating the leftovers. They're pretty good. Paul James used to talk about, he said, God kicked over the honey bucket. Some of the honey spilled out. I get it all the time. I feel it all the time. I mean, the blessings of God, the leftovers. What's the devil leave you with? Empty promises. What's the devil leave you with? Unfulfilled dreams. What does the devil leave you with? A false hope. What does the devil leave you with? Sorrow. Ask Absalom about the devil's devices as he hung by his hair on that oak, and Joab comes and runs those darts through him, kills him. That's the devil's leftovers. I think of Judas Iscariot, who had his hand on the very doorknob of heaven and died and went to hell, the son of perdition. I mean, you think about that. He took of the devil's leftovers and he burns in hell today along with Pontius Pilate and the rich man, as Lazarus enjoys paradise today. I think of the devil's leftovers, the false hope, the sorrow that comes with it. I think of Ananias and Sapphira, who thought that they could live one way and have the name Christian, and they brought great reproach on the name of Christ, and they carried their bodies out the door one after another. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I think about that evidence of God's leftovers. First of all, that God's good. God's good. I mean, no one was sent away empty. God's good. The Bible tells us here in John chapter 6 and verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, he was testing Philip and the others. He said, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient, that every one of them may take a little. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 36, they said, send them away, send them away. We can't feed them. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Jesus said this, you feed them. You feed them. That's what he said in one of the other gospels. You feed them. God's good. God is good, even though they said send them away. God never sends us away empty if we come with our cup upturned. Not only is God good, but God's greater. Think about that. Look in John chapter 6, verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. It's kind of like what some of you women say around Thanksgiving. Hey, I'd do better if you just stay out of the kitchen, honey. I don't think that's what it means here, but make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. Think about that huge obstacle of 5,000 men plus women and children. Thousands were gathered there, and we see that God is greater than that huge obstacle of numbers. God's greater than that. God's greater than that paltry 5 loaves that probably would fit in the size of a man's hand and 2 small fishes. God's greater than all that. God's great. God was leaving evidence. Hey, listen, my leftovers. Listen, I can take. I made this world and all that's in it in 6 days, and I started with nothing. What's 5 loaves and 2 fish? What's 25,000 people? God's leftovers. Amen. God's greater. That's what he's saying. God's good. Then he says this, God's generous. God's generous. That's what this miracle tells us. The Bible says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. He allowed them to have a part in that. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. As much as they would. God's generous. He's not only good and gracious, not only is he greater, but he's generous. He's generous. I mean, he gives us a home in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. God's generous. He blesses us over and above all that we could ask or think. God's generous. He said in verse 13, they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. God's generous. There are never fragments that are lost or wasted in God's economy. I'll take the fragments over what the world gives. I'll take God's fragments over the world's greatest offer. I'll take it. I'll take it every time. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. God's generous. That's what we see here. I like this. God is generational. What's the scripture say? There's a lad here. There's a lad here. You know, we think about all those 25,000 people. Jesus wanted them to, he wanted them to hear. He said, verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle, he wanted them, but you know what? He wanted that little lad to see the miracle. He wanted that boy to see the miracle. Because, I mean, if you ever wanted to write a novel, that'd be a great novel, wouldn't it? Wonder what happened to that little lad. What happened to that little boy? Brother Jim, if you ever want to write a Christmas play, that'd be a good one. What happened to the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus? He said, there's a lad here. And the Bible says, verse 14, those men, when they had seen the miracle, they includes the little boy. They includes the women who needed that. They includes their brothers and sisters. They includes the young college careers. They includes the divorcees. They includes the widows. They includes the little boys and girls that are wondering, how are we going to have food on the table? Hey, they includes the disciples who had not as much faith as they thought they did. It's generational. Women, children, boys, girls. There's a lad here. Because there's going to be a time, sometime, when that lad's going to grow up and he's going to need to know that God will provide. So what do we do with God's leftovers? A lot of times we offer him our leftovers, leftover time, leftover talent, leftover treasure, leftovers. We give God our we don't give God our best. I mean, listen, the Bible says of Daniel that there was an excellent spirit in him. There ought to be an excellence about the service of God. There ought to be an excellence about the people of God. What do we do with God's leftovers? Well, first of all, you share them. Share your blessings. Share your blessings. Mom and Dad, Vicki Skeen came in the other day, and others, but Vicki had brought, we'd taken in a Thanksgiving Day meal. Cindy had fixed a whole bunch of stuff, and we went in, had dinner, had Denzel. We had a great time. I didn't know Denzel could eat that much, but anyway, we went in there, had a great time, and then the next day, Vicki comes every Friday and helps with Mom and Dad. Anyway, she came in, brought another big meal. Leftovers. Good stuff, man. I didn't get any of it. But share your blessings. Share, you know, the thing about leftovers, you can freeze them. You can throw them out. Or you can heat them up. Amen. Hey, heat up God's blessings. Heat it up with a testimony. Heat it up with a track handed out. Heat it up with telling someone else about Jesus. Heat it up with a song. Heat it up with your faithful attendance. Heat up his blessings by sharing them. He said this, he said, give, shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Share your blessings. Share your leftovers. Share your leftovers. You know, if someone notices a blessing in your life, you ought to just say, hey, this ain't nothing. I mean, you don't know the half has not been told. I mean, Solomon said, the half has not been told. We have a great God in heaven. Share your blessings. Share your leftovers. Not only share the blessings, but share the blesser. Tell people where it came from. By his hand we shall be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Used to pray that prayer. I didn't have any idea what it meant. But by his hand, he opens his hand, satisfies the desire of every living thing. God blesses us. Share the blessings, but share the blesser. Let people know this is where it came from. This is who has blessed me. This is who's given me a smile on my face. He's the answer. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. What to do with God's leftovers? Show the blessings. Show the blessings. How do we do that, preacher? Well, you think about the blesser, that little boy who stood there under the Lord's arm with Andrew right here. And Andrew said, this is who I was telling you about. Amen. I think of that little boy that gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I think Jesus probably comforted him, patted him on the head, just like Elijah did the widow of Zarephath. He said, look, you go ahead and fix your last meal. Give it to me. God's going to fill your barrel. He'll take care of it. And I think he patted that little boy on the head, said, it's going to be all right. You just hang around. I'm going to show you something here. There ought to be enough miracles and answered prayer in our lives that our children can see that. They see the blesser. This Christmas, may God help us to show our children the blesser. And he's not in a red suit. You know. He's the God of heaven. Amen. Matt Hill would love that I said that. Amen. Amen. Share the blesser. Share the blessings. Number 3, show the blessings. How do we do that? Through our attitude. Through our attitude, through our attendance in church. Why don't we right now on this last Sunday of November decide, I'm going to do my best to be at every service throughout the month of December. That'd be a great goal, wouldn't it? Our attendance, our attitude, we show his blessings. Our appearance, we show his blessings. Our appearance. Our activities, where we go and what we support, our activities show his blessings. Our allegiance, where's our loyalty? Our adoration. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let everyone receive her King. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said this, let your light so shine. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what he was saying. He was saying, share the blesser, show the blessings. Show the blessings. Share your blessings. Let your light so shine. And then just shower others with the leftovers. Shower others. Dear Lord, I pray that today you would help us. I ask, Lord, at this Thanksgiving time, that, Lord, we'd not offer you just what's left over. If we have a Sunday here and there, we'll come to church. Lord, that we'd just not tip you, but we'd tithe to you. That we'd not just pray when things are going well, smile when things are going well, but Lord, that we would adamantly and with great allegiance serve you. Help us to give you our whole heart. Help us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to share the leftovers this holiday season. And Lord, as we think of food and all the material blessings, help us to share the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to show that. Help us to shower others. May, Lord, people enjoy being around us because we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. May our church be a joyful church, a sharing church, a happy church, a church that's excited about heaven, excited about the Son of God. I pray, Lord, that we, like that little boy, would offer that which we have and see you multiply it in a greater way. Help this be our goal, Lord, as we head into the month of December. That we would lean upon you that gives us exceeding great precious promises over and above all that we could ask or think. Thank you for those men that saw this great miracle. Thank you for those women that saw this great miracle. Thank you for those boys and girls that experienced this great miracle. And I pray, Lord, that we'd continue to share the miracles that you've done in our lives in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed.